Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore Jr.
Amen. While you're still standing, we're going to receive our pastor and we're going to greet him with a hearty amen.
Amen.
It feels so good to be back with my folks. I'm just so excited to be here today, well rested and just ready to receive some more from the Lord. It was an interesting vacation, to say the least. We got some rest, but some other good things happened, and so we're just excited. I'm gonna share a few things after we pray, but I'm just in a different place, and I understand, and I think we both do. We understand why we had to go away, even why we had to go to the place that we were. But God has an amazing way of showing you things and sharing things and showing you why certain things are happening, showing you what's going to happen, and showing you ministry things. I'm just real excited right now. So bow your heads, we're going to pray, and then we're just going to talk for a few minutes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor for the things that you're doing, but most of all, for who you are. You are our Father. You are the one that continues to watch over us, even in spite of ourselves. In spite of the things that we do, even when we make the wrong turns, you're always right there. Because your mercy endures to all generations, and you give us new mercies every single day. We don't depend on the ones from yesterday, but every day we wake up, we know we have new mercies. And Father, we're so grateful for that. We don't take it for granted for a moment. But we want to take a moment just to give you praise and thanksgiving just for the amazing things that you continue to do in our lives. You're bringing restoration. You're bringing hope. You're reviving our spirits. You're just illuminating our hearts and our minds. And we just have a hunger for you and for your presence and for the things that you're doing. We pray, Father, now in Jesus' name, that you will manifest the things that you've already promised. I speak, decree, and declare that healings and miracles and signs and wonders will continue to follow your word. And I thank you and I believe that it's already done. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, we're just grateful just to be here again and be in the presence of our loving Father. We had a wonderful time in Cancun. That was a place that we'd not been before. But just had a great, great time. I was sharing with Trey, doing the fellowship. That the room that we got, it was amazing because I don't know the room that we were going to get, but I know the one that we got, it sure was an upgrade. I mean, major upgrade. It was absolutely gorgeous. And not only could we see the sun rising in the morning, but we could literally lay in our bed and see the ocean. We didn't even have to move. We didn't even have to close the, you know how you have to close the curtains at night? We didn't have to close the curtains because we were on the top floor and the room was situated towards the beach. So unless somebody was on a cruise ship with major telescopes, we could feel free just like we were at home. So we would leave the sliding doors open at night and we could just, I was telling Trey, we would lay in the bed and watch the moon just cast over the ocean. You could just see the light casting over the ocean. It was amazing. It was just an amazing, amazing time in the Lord. We got to rest, to relax, and we talked, and we played, and we jet skied. So it was fun. We had a lot of time. And you know, I told Darlene, I said, we're not going to wait that long to go on vacation again. The 9 years is way too long. That was just, I mean, you're talking about being out of order. That was completely out of order. We would never, ever do that again because you don't realize how tired you are and how much you need a break from the everyday things of life until you go away together. And that, I mean, we've gone away for weekend trips, but as far as a vacation, that's the first one that we've had in 9 years. And but we'll never do that again. But I thank God for giving us a safe journey. I thank you for your prayers. I thank God that we were able to share some of our moments with some of, you know, our members right here, and some of our friends and the family and associates on our Facebook. And it was nice. We were able to do some Facebook Live and just share some of the different experiences that we were having. So it was nice. It was just a real nice time. And but, you know, being ever so pleasant, there is no place like home. So we were glad to be to come back. We, you know, we are looking forward to going on vacation. We actually supposed to be going to the Bahamas, I think, in February, I believe it is, on a cruise. So we'll see how that works out. Yes, but we're making a pact with ourselves that we're not going to ever do that again. We're going to take at least one vacation a year, and I think everybody in here should. But we want to take two a year, but we're going to take at least one, at least, I'm serious, at least one a year. But I'm glad for what God is doing, for the way the Lord was speaking. I asked the Lord, would he really just speak to me while we were away and just pour into my spirit some of the things that I was asking him about. And he didn't say anything. I kind of understand now, because I think if he had spoken to me the first night we were there, that's all I would have been thinking about the whole vacation. So he waited until Thursday night, I believe it was, because we left to come back home on Friday morning. So Thursday night, he just spoke to me the way that he always does in dreams and visions, and it was just so comforting, so amazing, the things he was saying. Then the very first night at home, he just spoke to me again with just amazing, amazing dreams and revelations. So I'm just really in a different place right now. My heart is excited. We did get a call while we were away that the person that I used to work with at Trinity Solar, the guy that hired me, Cleveland Tyson. His mom passed away the actual Sunday that we left to go to Cancun. So we were able to get back, and I actually missed my appointment with Corby yesterday, but I had forgotten about that funeral. So we got there a little late, but we were able to go. And it was kind of mixed emotions for me, because it was at my dad's church at Reed Temple, and I think I've shared with you guys the dreams that I've had about being a pastor there. So it felt really, I don't want to say weird, because you shouldn't use weird and church together, but it felt really strange being there, you know, and going in the sanctuary, and we got there late, and it was kind of crowded, kind of packed. And I don't know if you guys have ever been to Reed Temple, but it's a beautiful, beautiful church. It really is. I mean, it needs a lot of work now, but I mean, as far as just the way it's set up, it's a beautiful edifice. You know, balconies on both sides. It's a beautiful church. But when you go towards the back, you can see that because they don't have a lot of members and things like that right now, the building has really gone down. But, as I walked in the back, I saw they still have my dad's picture up on the wall, and I just like, hey. But it was just nice. It was really nice being there. Nice to see. Nice to even be acknowledged when we walked in by Bishop Calhoun. And so it was just a pleasant, pleasant thing. We got a chance to see some people we hadn't seen in a long, long time. People that were there when we were members there. And it's funny because that's where I actually met Darlene. So we were raised at Reed Temple together. I was her youth leader there. So it was just really an amazing feeling being back there and having an opportunity to see some people that I had not seen in a long, long time. So it was a blessing, and we exchanged numbers, and we just had a really good time. It was, again, Cleveland's mom passed, so that was sad, but it's a shame that we have to see people that we haven't seen in a long time at funeral. It happened even at your stepdad's funeral, where the guy that I went to high school with, Alex Bethea. Yep, we went to high school together. So I saw him there, and we actually sat beside one another. So sometimes that happens, but I thank God for the connections that he's given us in this season, and for the amazing things that are happening. I don't feel, I'm kind of tired in my body, but I want to talk to you for a few minutes about something that I think, well, not something that I think, but where I know the Lord has taken us right now and the things that we have to do to get prepared for it. I know there are going to be some amazing things. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know. Sometimes I have dreams about things. Alex's car is fine. Sometimes I have dreams about things that I don't really fully understand at the moment. But I'm seeing a pattern of things that the Lord is doing, and I'm real excited about it. I want to just share one vision that I had, because it's nothing like this has ever happened before. It's sort of like when I had the dream of the rapture, and I had never dreamed anything like that before. But I had a dream that I was walking, believe it or not, Pat, with Ricky, Jan's brother, and another guy that I was competitors with in high school. His name was Leslie Derricott. And we were just kind of walking together, and of course, you know, just like I used to be, I was trash talking to Leslie about, you know, he ran track, I ran track. He ran for Passaic High School, I ran for Patterson Eastside. So I'm just talking trash, and yeah, you thought you could beat me, but you had to get a different thought pattern. We just talking back and forth, and just, you know, then we saw this lady, and we stopped and chatted with her for a while about some things spiritual, but I don't remember what the conversation was about. But then as we were walking, it was still Ricky, but it was no longer this guy, Leslie. It was another guy that I really, even to this moment, I don't know who it was. But somehow Ricky said something about church. And I said, yeah, you know, it's like I was saying, I can't wait to get back in service. And this guy said, I don't do that church thing, man. I don't know nothing about church. That's you guys' stuff. You know, I don't know nothing about all that Holy Ghost stuff. And I mean, he was just kind of talking like that. And then I said, well, it's not, you know, about you don't do church. I said, this is about a relationship that you have with the Lord. And then, I mean, from nowhere, and I'm not a songstress, you guys know that, but out of nowhere, I started singing this song. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. And as I was singing that, this very guy that was standing to my right, a little behind me, I looked at him, and he was speaking in tongues and praising God and magnifying God, and I began to thank God for a miracle, because I said, here's a guy that don't even know anything about salvation or know how to confess, and he's standing there, he's speaking in tongues, and the Spirit of the Lord gave utterance, and I thank God. I said, that is the most amazing miracle, Father, that I've ever seen, because you took somebody that know nothing about church, know nothing about salvation, and they're standing there, you know, speaking in tongues, I mean, clearly, and I mean, praising and magnifying God, and my spirit, man. Then when I finally woke up, it's somewhat to the dream, but I'm not released to say that to you, but when I finally woke up, I was just rejoicing in my heart, because that was the third day in a row that the Lord is really speaking to me. So I know that we're going to a place now, even being at Reed Temple on yesterday. I really sense that God is going to do something. I can't tell you, believers, what it is, but something changes in the air. Something amazing is about to happen. Even old relationship, old ties, you know, things that you thought were lost, God's going to be bringing those things back together again. The very name of this ministry is going to be manifested in a physical way. Yeah. You know, we've talked about it, but now the word restoration, we're going to see it in a more tangible way than we ever have before. And I'm excited about that. I'm really, really excited about that. So if you go to your Bibles, to the book of, give me 10, 15 minutes, I'm going to be done, but I really just want to talk about this, because this is where we need to be right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to start reading at verse 4, because I want you to understand that we have a mandate to work together. That is what we have to do, and I want you to also understand that God never tells us to do anything that He's not already done Himself first and given an example of it in His Word. So whatever God is going to do in us, He's already done that in somebody already or Himself. So now, working together as a ministry, let me tell you what it means, because Darlene and I, we learned more about this as we were on our vacation. We got a chance to really spend some quality time together. Well, we actually talked. And I mean, we talked about ministry things. I remember one day,
We sat on the beach, and we really weren't on the beach, but we're at the poolside, and they have these cots that you can lay down on. So we sat there. I was in one, Darlene was in the other, and the bird was in the other side. He just got on the cot, and he just stood there looking at us like he was a part of the conversation. But we were talking about the things that the Lord is doing and what we're really looking forward to and where we have to be. We were talking about where we have to be as a couple. Because I think sometimes we really have to get our personal house in order before the house of God can get in order the way it's supposed to be. And it's not that Darlene and I have any type of problem or anything, not in the least, but we just weren't in that place where God needed us to be as far as just being relaxed and rested and spending time together and hearing one another talk and not just talking about the job, because most of the time I'm talking about a sin, or she's talking about Wells Fargo and things that happened there, and I'm talking about, well, how much money are we going to make this week? What bills do we... We didn't talk about any of that stuff while we were going. We just talked about each other, and, you know, we talked about the room, and we talked about what we're going to have for dinner, and where we're going to go to Champions. Is that the name of it? Champions to watch Thursday night football. I mean, just real amazing conversations. But we really did have an opportunity to spend some time together. And I'm saying this, you know, the reason that I'm saying this is because we have to learn to be that way amongst one another. Now, if you look at chapter 12, verse 4, it says this: Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations or ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God. So now if you look at this, working together, the prime example of working together and knowing your call and staying in that part that you're supposed to stay in is really shown perfectly in this verse. Here we see in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, large S. So that's the Holy Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. So that's mentioned in Jesus. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God. That is the Father. So you see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all mentioned here, but they are mentioned in their particular duties to the body of Christ. And I thought this was interesting only because sometimes we look at others and what others are doing and others' gifts and what they're called to do. And sometimes, Pat, we like what they're called to do more than what we're called to do. But the Bible tells us clearly that there are differences. That word diversities, it means different types. There are different types of gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit that gives those gifts. There are different types of ministries or administrations, but it's the same Lord that lets out the ministries. And there are different types of operation, but it's the same God or the same Father. So listen, everybody have their role in ministry. We all in here have our role in ministry. Now, we like to say that we are ministry known as love, but we also have our individual gifts. Every person, Corbin and Cheryl and everyone in here, we have our individual gifts that we bring to the table. But now here's the thing. Do you see your gift separate from the church? He said, I'm talking about our local church now. Do you see your individual gift separate from what you're doing right here in your local church? Because it can't be. You know, the body, the Bible talks about here, it gives the reference to the gifts being sort of like the different members of the body. And it gives an analogy, which I think is amazing. It says, there are many members, but yet one body, and the eye cannot say, well, to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Every person in this ministry, the ones that are here, the ones that are not here. Do y'all remember me saying before I left that we need restoration, needs you? Yeah. And this is what I'm saying. Everybody that's been assigned to this ministry, your ministry needs your gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you bring to the table, if we're going to get to that place that God wants us to be and He has outlined for us to be, we need your gift. We don't just need you to come to church and sit there. I mean, that would be boring. I mean, you're not going to get any place. That's like going to a job, Cheryl, and you go to, you punch in, and then you just stand there and look at the clock until 5 o'clock. No, you go and punch in, and then what happens? You have to work.
Yes, yes.
It's no different with ministry. Yes. There are many different members in the body, but it's one body.
Yes.
The eye, the nose, the ear, the legs, they're all members. but they are not the body.
Yes.
They are members of the body. The head is no more important than the arm. Now, there is something that God put in the head that is more important than the arm, because without the brain that is in the head, the body can't function. Listen, when my son had surgery recently. His body began to react because something went wrong with his gallbladder. So his body was telling him that something is not functioning right, but Nikki, his body would not have known had not the brain sent a signal down to the body that something was wrong. How many of you know that Jesus is the brain of our operation, and he uses certain ones to send signals to the body that something is not functioning the way that it was made to function? We've got to function together here as a body, but we get our instructions from the Lord, sure. We don't just do things haphazardly. Listen, I'm glad I went away. I'm glad that the Spirit of God had an opportunity to get me in a place where I could be still, to hear a word, to let me know something is going wrong in your local body. We are not functioning the way, Cheryl, that God wants us to function. Listen, we are coming, but we're not really working the way that we're supposed to work. Don't you know that if Trey attacked my left arm, and my left arm began to bleed, my right arm knows nothing about it. It has no idea what's going on. My leg knows nothing about it. My heart, it knows nothing. My neck, it knows nothing about what happened to my arm. And the only way that my eyes know is because they can see it. But they don't even get the signal to look until the brain tells it that something went wrong with another part of your body. You see, we should have people suffering in our ministry and we don't know anything about it. We've got to, listen, we've got folks that are not here right now. We've got to find them. They play a major function in the health and the operation of this ministry. We need them. You got to get this. We need that gift here, because there's something that they bring to the table that God needs to bring restoration to that place where it's designed to be. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
We cannot do this thing by ourselves. We cannot. And I'll tell you, Patty got very evident to me yesterday. I was standing there and I thought about that dream that I told y'all about, where they pulled the pews back on that right side and there was this beautiful, beautiful white lamb. And he just stood there and he kind of just gazed up at me, kind of leaning like this, and he just gazed up at me like he was almost trying to say something. And as I was sitting there in that sanctuary, I thought about that vision. I thought about the evangelist that was there. You know, them opening the window so that the light could come in. I thought about the young people that were getting in the line and getting saved, healed, and delivered. And it didn't have to be Reed Temple, but it could be right here. It wasn't the place, but it was what was happening that was important and God wanted us to see.
Yeah.
We need to see that there are people that are in this hotel right now. That they may be in their rooms right now. And we need the anointing here so that the anointing can flow throughout this building and people can start getting healed and delivered right in their rooms. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine the Spirit of God trusting us enough where people start coming out of their room, standing at the door with tears in their eyes? We're singing praise songs. We just think we're going through the motions. And let me tell you something. Sometimes we get so bent on, you know, the things that we're doing that we just go through the motions. We put the music on, the music plays, we clap our hands. It's not even something that we're trying to worship, but we are going through the motions. We're going through the motions. It's sort of like you've been married too long, and your wife got one bed, and you got another bed, and say, you know what? Let me tell y'all something. If it ever gets to that point with me, that's going to be a major problem. And there's one bed. We had two double beds. We had two double beds. Am I getting too personal here? We had two double beds when we were in Mexico. And how many of y'all know the First Lady was not having sleeping in the other bed? She said, oh no. She looked at me like, what? Are you crazy? Have I ever slept in the... No. She said, there's enough room for the two of us. Here's the thing. You've got to be in that place where the people that you normally are attached to, if you don't see them, it should bother you.
Yes.
There should be something that bothers you when the people that are important to this ministry are not here to undergird it and support it and take it to that next level. Because let me tell you something. We can't go there without them.
Oh my God.
They are attached to this ministry. of God.
Yes.
Then we should act like there's an urgency about us and an urgency about this ministry. You know what? We talked while we were there. We were talking about some of the things that we used to do when we were on 130. We thought about, Pat, what were we doing when the ministry was growing? I mean, what were we doing? But we were doing a lot of different things. I mean, we were. We weren't just coming to church, Nikki, and just having service, setting up the speakers, setting up the mics, you know, singing three songs, raise the offering, do testimony service, and go. We were doing more than that. Listen, your ministry outside has to be much larger than your ministry inside. If the ministry outside is not functioning properly, then the body is not going to function properly, then your ministry is not going to grow. The body, listen, the body is sick. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? You've been 35 years old and you never grow. You never change. Nothing, you know, nothing ever changes. Everything is always the same. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. I can't imagine 5 years from now coming, you know, with the same amount of people saying the same. I can't imagine that. No, I'm telling you, I can't. My mind won't allow me to do that. I'm a progressive guy in business. I cannot be any less in ministry. You've got to want to move. There's got to be something inside of you that drives you to want to see improvement, that drives you to want to see better, to want to have more. I don't believe in the philosophy that the broker you are, the humbler you are. I'm going to tell you, let me raise my hand. It ain't true. No, I'm telling you, it's not true. I don't believe it. First of all, it's not Bible. Can you imagine that God is creating all these amazing mansions for us in heaven? He's got streets of gold, and we got a problem with having a car. I mean, people, you know, they get upset when they see somebody driving a Bentley. Oh my God, you see them, they driving it, then they try to make you feel good. They can take some of that money and feed the poor. Let me tell you something. You can feed the poor with a Chevrolet just like you can feed the poor with a Bentley. Has nothing to do with it. The thing is, are you satisfied with where you are? I'm not. I cannot be satisfied with where I am. How many of you are just satisfied where you are right now? I'm glad you didn't raise your hands. You can't be. We are members of a body. We are created to function together.
Yeah.
Listen, our body is going to... Do y'all want to be a dwarf ministry? Is that what y'all desire? You want to just come here and see the same people every week? Hey, how you doing? Hey, Hercules, no, I want to see growth. I want things to change.
Yeah.
Because we are members of a body, and there are people that belong to this body that we've got to go and find. We've got to go and find our ministry on the outside. Cheryl has to be larger than our ministry on the inside. We've got to get busy. We've got to have an urgency. You can't be satisfied. You can't be, look at this. Are you really satisfied with this? I tell you, there's a dissatisfaction in me. Like, I can't even begin to explain to you. And some of it is, I know that we're all connected. We're all part of one body. But there's a part of the body that's not functioning right. Do you feel it? I mean, can you sense it? Do you sense the pain and the agony of some of the people that are not here right now? Do you pray for them? Are they in part of your daily intercession? Are you interceding on their behalf? Are you turning your plate down because you want to see your ministry grow? Are you turning your plate down because you just can't be satisfied until signs and wonders and healings and deliverance are happening in this ministry every single week? I can't be satisfied with where we are right now. I can't be. My heart yearns. Pat, let me tell you something. There's a yearning. I really have to check myself at times because there's a yearning that I have inside of me for the presence of God. Not that I want to die, but there's a yearning for His presence.
Yeah.
Because I know that in His presence, there's fullness of joy.
Yeah.
I know my joy can't be full not being in His presence. So there's a constant yearning in my spirit for His presence. Sometimes we take for granted the little things that God is doing in our lives, the little blessings, like the testimony that Trey gave this morning about the tire. You know, it may seem like a little thing, but as I was sitting there, I was, you know what I was saying, Trey? God, I thank you for favor. That is the favor. I mean, can you imagine somebody being that concerned about a tire? I mean, what is that? I mean, first of all, who does that? But God gives people favor, or gives you favor with other people.
Yeah.
trouble with this tire. And then they set it up where other angels can come, hold off the ones that's trying to cause problems with your car, and then the favor of God rests on somebody and they get their tire fixed. You read about this in News from Heaven. You read about this, you know, when you get there. You'll get a chance to see a video replay of the small things you took for granted. I mean, my heart rejoiced when she just said, I'm having dinner with my son. I began to praise God in my spirit. You don't realize the small things that happen with the body. Listen, when Cheryl's body is functioning the way that it's supposed to function, it makes me feel better because she's a part of this body.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get this. You see, when Corbin is not functioning, when Corbin tells me that things are going cockeyed and, you know, I just don't feel right. I heard him, and I'm going to get on him, but I told him, I'm on vacation. Let me not bother him now. But he said something like, it's the worst day of my life. And I started to say, seriously, Corbin? You're part of the restoration. Come on, man. But my heart went out for him because it was telling me that a part of me is hurting, and I feel that thing.
Yeah.
Do y'all get this?
Yeah.
When you love somebody, you can feel when something, there are times when I can look at Trey. Because me and Trey, we just, that's my boy. But I know when something is not right with him. He don't have to say a word. There's something about the look that is that I feel it. That's, you know, it's like my own body is feeling that I know when something is out of whack with him. And we've got to get to that place where, sure, we not only feel it, but we want to do something about it.
Yeah.
What can I do to relieve some of that pain? Because, you know, you hurting is hurting me. And I want you to feel better so I can feel better. Because I don't want to keep feeling like this. So let's get this thing right.
Yeah.
And this is how the Lord feels when we are hurting because we are members of his body. Yeah. You got to understand this. Many people believe that God in some way is punishing them because of something that they did. You know, if that was the case, how many of y'all know that we would be living in constant punishment?
Yeah.
I mean, not just because of what we do, Nikki, but because of what we think. We would be living in constant punishment. I mean, the thoughts that go on in our minds and the things that we entertain. I mean, we would be in constant punishment, but in spite of all of that, the Bible says Christ died not for the godly, but for the ungodly. He died for the ones that don't even deserve another chance.
Yeah.
But because we are part of his body, when we feel it, he feels it.
Yes,
we are all members of one body. And listen to this, verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. There are people, Pat, that's a part of this ministry, that we may look at them and say, well, they don't bring nothing to the table. I mean, what are they bringing to the table? But God says the ones that seem feeble, he's put more of an anointing on them than the ones that have all of the gifts because they need it more than everybody else. Church, listen to me good. Your members need you.
Yeah.
They need you. You need them. Listen, if this is all that it is on Sundays, then we might as well close up shop. I mean, if this is what we are coming to do, we can just close up shop because this is not where it is. It's what we do here. We come here on Sundays to celebrate for all of the good things that happened during the week. So that means something good got to be happening during the week because otherwise, then why are we even coming here? We are coming here to, this is a celebration time. This is a time when we come to meet and greet and to fellowship and talk about the goodness of the Lord. Why do you think I said, don't give these old, you know, old poor me testimony. Don't give that kind of stuff. That doesn't benefit any part of the body. Can you imagine going in the hospital, and I'm going to see Corbin. Corbin's laying there, you know, with cancer. And I said, yeah, man, my dad died of that. That's not going to bless him. That's not what he needs to hear. He needs encouragement.
Yeah.
You don't go to a hospital and say, you know what? Man, you better look out for that boy. You don't do that. A dummy would do stuff like that. But think about it. We do that in church sometimes. Think about it. We give testimonies that are totally, I mean, just are totally negative. And then, you know, then we sit down like, I get that off my chest. Well, I'm glad you feel better because now everybody else feels worse. It's not about that, folks. It's about, listen, you got to remember that you are part of a body and you need to affect that part positively. You need to be able to say, listen, Nikki, I feel your pain. Let's pray together. Not only that, not just right now. Let me call you during the week. Let's lay down our place for 7 days until thing together. That's what we've got. That's what the body does, because we are members of the same body. When I prosper, you prosper.
Yeah.
And prayerfully, when you prosper, I will prosper.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The church says.
Yeah.
But we are members of one body. So my point is this. We can't be satisfied where we are right now. You can't be. But you've got to have a working spirit. There's got to be, I don't understand. Now, Trent, maybe you can help me with this. I don't understand. A person that can be diligent on their jobs, they can get there on time, they work hard, and then they come to the ministry to rest. You don't think that you're members of a body, but you come to the ministry to rest. Okay, get me excited, Pastor. Come on, say something that's going to really get me going. All right. No, that's not it. We come here to celebrate. This is supposed to be a party, not a eulogy. This is supposed to be a party. We're here to celebrate. We're here to lift up our hands in adoration. You should have to egg people on to give praise. You should have to egg people on to worship. We are here because we're alive. We have breath in our bodies, the activity of our limbs. We got a reason to magnify God.
Yes.
We are members of one body.
Yes, God.
Being members of one body, that means this. We have to honor each member of the body.
My God.
We have to honor them. You know what we should really have? We should have someone, a hospitality type person, that calls. Now, I know this is the new day, Nikki. I know y'all young folks don't do this stuff. You know, but this is going back in the day with your old pastor. You know, when people were sick, sure, they would, not the pastor. See, that wasn't the role of the pastor. No, it was the role of the members. They would get on the phone, miss you today. Is everything okay? You need anything? They don't do that now. You know why they don't do it, Nikki? Because they're afraid they might tell you they need something. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. But see, we got to, if we listen, what does that saying go? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If we're really going to grow as a ministry, we've really got to get out to those ones that are hurting and missing and, you know, battle fatigued, and because some of them are not as strong as you, but they're still members of your body. They're part of us. They're part of us. Listen, Jeanette is a part of us. Simone is a part of us. Sharice is a part of us. Alki is a part of us.
Donna
is a part of us. Brittany.
Ashley.
These people are Michael. They are part of us. When they're not here, we shouldn't be functioning right. You know, there's got to be something inside of you that says, it's just not the same. You know, when I was living in Maryland, Cheryl, and she was living in New Jersey, I was still existing, but I wasn't living because something inside of me was missing. I missed having my partner there with me. And it should be the same way in the ministry. When the people are not here that's a part of you, there should be something inside of you that want to reach out to them because they're part of this body. They're part of who we are. I pray that God, I'm really praying that I don't really know how God is going to do things, Pat. I wish I could stand here, you know, confidently and say I know exactly what the Lord is going to do, but I don't know that. I don't know. I kind of know what he's going to do, but what I don't know is how he's going to do it. I don't know that. I don't know if everyone right here is going to be with us a year from now, 5 years from now, or it's going to be a completely different group, but I do know this. I know what he promised. I know what I saw. And I know that he's not a man that he can lie straight.
Yes.
He's not the son of man that he has to repent.
Yes.
If he said it, he's going to do it. If he's promised, he's going to make it good.
Yes.
I do know that.
Yes.
So now, here's my thing. If we are part of what we are right now, if you're part of restoration, there should be something inside of you that should just say, Pastor, look, let's do this. What about if we do this? I'm open for suggestions, folks. This is our ministry. This belongs to us. If it's going to grow, we have to do that by God's help.
Yes.
And by the presence of his spirit, we have to be obedient to the things. But we've got to, he's not going to show the things that we have to do. He's not going to do those things. The things that we can do with our own hands straight, he's not going to do that. If you wait for God to change your tire, you're going to be riding around on the rim. He doesn't change tires. How many of y'all know that? He doesn't come down and change, so he doesn't do that. You know, he's not going to cook breakfast for you, though he did it one time for the disciples. But he's not going to come down and cook breakfast for you. Those are things that you have to do yourself. You want to see a healthy ministry? then we have to want to see a healthy ministry. We have to look at our bodies. We have to know that something is missing, and then we got to want to do something about it. That's what she and I were talking about while we were gone. We realize that some things are just not functioning the way that they're supposed to function, but we got to do something about it. We can't just stand up here and talk in a mic for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then say, okay, yeah, well, praise God, we recognize the problem, so we got to do something about it. We've got to do something about it. We got to get busy. Because see, here's my thing. Why remain if we're just going to keep doing the same? Why remain? If we're just going to keep doing this same thing every single week, then why remain? Why remain? There's got to be an urgency in you to want to see things change. You got to want to see things different. You got to want to work. You got to want to get out there and do something. I mean, you know, I think it's bad when we work so hard all week that we have no strength to do the work of the Lord. There's something wrong with that. We are kingdom builders. We are kingdom builders. Kingdom builders. So I just wanted to share that with you because it's stirring in my spirit. It's stirring in my heart. And I know that if we want to see things different, we can talk all we want. We can talk about the dreams, the prophecy. We can talk all we want. But if we're not doing something so God can anoint it, nothing is going to change. Stand on your feet. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. How many of you are ready for change?
Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.